Welcome to the Anxiety Rx podcast. This episode is about why thinking can't heal your anxiety. There's a lot of things out there saying to you, if you just think better, if you just think more positively, or don't worry, stop worrying, just think better, you're going to heal your anxiety. And I think that's a huge disservice to those of us who suffer from chronic anxiety, because the anxiety isn't coming from our thinking. Even though it appears that the anxiety is coming from our thinking, the thinking is just a symptom. It's just a byproduct of this alarm that's carried in our body. So just changing your thinking, just doing talk therapy, just doing CBT without addressing the alarm itself, without addressing the younger version of you that's still hurting inside of you, that still lives inside of you, isn't really going to heal your anxiety. And I think it's really important to understand that anxiety is two things. It's the thinking of the mind, absolutely, but it's also this feeling of alarm in the body. So just changing your thinking alone isn't going to heal your anxiety. And I'll tell you why. So this idea that changing your thinking lies at the very heart of anxiety. Anxiety at its root is separation. It's a separation of your mind from your body and the adult version of you and the child version of you. And those separations are what create anxiety, create alarm in your body in the first place. And that's what creates the anxieties of your mind. So just changing your thoughts isn't going to change that alarm that's in your body. It may help a little bit, but it's not going to heal it. So your anxiety likely started as a separation from your parents. And maybe you've heard my SHOULD acronym before. You should have been seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended. That is the core of not growing up with a state of protection, with a state of alarm. If you were seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended as a child, you're likely not going to develop the alarm that drives the anxiety. And many of us worriers were born sensitive. And I'm not crazy about this term, highly sensitive person, but it's generally a decent descriptor. I think as anxious people, I haven't met an anxious person who wasn't sensitive. So if you're a highly sensitive person, about 15 to 20% of the population are, you are also a highly sensitive child. If you were seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended, you'd probably do fine. In fact, many people who are highly sensitive do much better than fine because your sensitivity helps you in many, many ways. But if you don't get that should, that seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended, that sensitivity starts working against you, often by separating you from yourself, from the inside. So if we don't get our basic needs met, highly sensitive people tend to blame ourselves. A child will take on the trauma of their household like it's their fault. And in an act of self-blame, we separate from ourselves. And that separation creates an unbearable sense of alarm that gets pushed down out of our conscious mind into the unconscious mind. And as the unconscious mind is a representation of the body and vice versa, that unconscious alarm gets stored in the body. So much of our subconscious mind is hijacked by this alarm that creates the anxiety that we live with for the rest of our lives. And that alarm gets stored out of sight, out of mind, in the body. And it's that alarm energy that drives the warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios that create the anxiety. And it's the anxiety in their mind that we can see, but it's actually the feeling underneath it that creates that anxiety. So we have to deal with the feeling first. So what anxiety really is, it's this alarm in our body that activates the worries of our mind, and the worries of our mind activate more alarm in the body in something I call the alarm anxiety cycle. And this alarm anxiety cycle feeds on itself by creating worries. Creating worries in our minds became the way most of us coped with that alarming feeling of separation that was stuffed into our bodies. It was a coping strategy to go into our heads and avoid this pain in our body. We don't want to feel the discomfort in our body, so we run away from it into our minds. In other words, we learn to escape the alarm pain in our body by essentially escaping into the thoughts and worries and ruminations in our mind. And that's where our worries began. And it becomes a lifelong coping strategy of worry because we're trying to escape this alarm in our body. And worry gives us the illusion that we're doing that. So one of the greatest mistakes that we make is trying to think our way out of anxiety. It makes sense. We're uncomfortable and the mind is built to fix things. The left hemisphere, that analytical part of our brain, is always looking for some sort of logical linear solution. And the right hemisphere, on the other hand, is more of a feeling-based hemisphere. It's where we feel, where we connect to our bodies. A lot of our stimulation from our body enters the right hemisphere first, and then the left hemisphere analyzes it. But here's the problem. Feelings happen in the body. Feelings are what creates anxiety. Anxiety starts as a sensation, a tightness in your chest, a pit in your stomach, a lump in your throat. And when we're young and we don't know how to process that sense of alarm, we need to escape it. We need to find a way out of that. So when we're younger, we escape into our heads. We worry in our minds because it's the only option available to us as children. We don't have the power to change our external situation ourselves. So the only escape we have is to go into our heads, either dissociate or worry. And in that moment, worry becomes a coping strategy. Instead of sitting in the body with that fear, which we can't, it's intolerable, we distract ourselves with our minds. We spin thoughts to avoid feeling. And because it seems to work in childhood, it helps us get through as children. We keep using it for the rest of our lives. Worry becomes this coping strategy that avoids this pain of alarm in our body. So I believe we even get a hit of dopamine when we worry, because what worry does essentially is it makes the uncertain appear more certain. And when we get that affirmation in our brains, we get a little dopamine hit. So this worry becomes an addiction because we get a quick short-term reward, but the price we pay is in long-term pain of this alarm that we never deal with unless we actually decide that we're going to feel it. Now, the trouble is worry doesn't resolve anything. It just perpetuates that separation from ourselves that created the anxiety alarm in the first place. It's the alarm that causes the pain. It's not the thoughts. The thoughts appear to cause the pain, but it's really the alarm in our body. So where does that alarm come from? Let's go a little deeper. That uncomfortable feeling of alarm that you have in your body, that fear, that grief, that sadness, it isn't new. It's the same feeling you had back when you were a child. We feel the same way now that we did when we were powerless children. That's the alarm. That's what we have to heal. So when you push away painful emotions today, you're also pushing away that child who first felt them. The adult doesn't want to go back to the child because the child holds their pain. And the child doesn't trust the adult because as adults, we've left that child alone with their pain for so long. And when you leave a child alone with pain, they find ways of coping with it that probably aren't going to be beneficial in the long run, but help them in the short term. And we often abandon that child, that pain, that alarm, because it's too painful. But when we do that, we create more pain because the child just gets louder. The alarm just gets deeper. So we wind up with two layers of separation. We separate our mind from our body. The sensations in our body are uncomfortable, so we distract into the worries of our mind, and we get a short-term reward for that. But we also separate the adult in us from the child in us, and we run from that wounded child within us because that's what we did when we were children. We separated from ourselves, which causes the alarm in the first place. And this is the essence of anxiety. It's not just pain. It's not just the pain of disconnection. It's the pain that we are separating from ourselves. And when you separate from yourselves, you create this tremendous sense of alarm in your body that you can't quite quantify. And that's why most anxiety therapies fail, because they try to treat the thoughts of the mind when really the essence of this anxiety is this alarm that's stored in our body. Now, let's put some neuroscience behind this. In my book, Anxiety RX, I talk about alarm, the survival signal stored in the body. And when that alarm gets activated, the insular cortex deep in the center of our brain picks up on that danger signal from the body. We're not safe. And through a process called interoception, the mind is always reading the body. And this insular cortex activates the amygdala and other structures that activate the body. It sends the body into this fight or flight response. So it compounds itself. This is the loop. The alarm itself creates alarm in the brain, which feeds back into the body, which creates more fight or flight, which gets filtered through the brain. That's why it feels, anxiety feels like it's, we can't escape it. We can't get away from it because we're in this loop. We feel our heart pounding or palpitating, our guts tighten, our breath becomes shallow and rapid. And I know you know this feeling. It's the body telling the brain that we're not safe. So the brain has to come up with an answer. So it comes up with warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios of what could happen. But instead of staying with the body, the mind, we let the mind take over. This left hemisphere starts spinning, worrying, catastrophizing, and planning for danger. And that's essentially what anxiety is, anxiety of the mind. And this isn't random. It's a learned coping strategy. So we have the anxieties of the mind trying to protect us from the alarm we feel in the body. And this has long been going on, probably since you were a child. Your mind has developed a coping strategy of worrying to keep you away from this alarm that's stuck in your body. It's a coping strategy. Worrying is a coping strategy. It's a way of distracting, of dissociating, of taking you away from this alarm in your body. But we never deal with the alarm then. We're always stuck in our heads. So here's the key. Worry isn't the problem. It's the attempted solution you created when you were a child. It's the mind saying, let me take over. I'll distract you. I'll dissociate so that you don't have to deal or feel with this old pain that you probably felt when you were a child. You probably feel the same way now that you did back then. And this worrying works in the short term, but it never provides consistent relief. And essentially, that's the definition of addiction, something that works in the short term, but creates long-term pain. So worrying becomes an addiction. And the addiction solves some short-term pain, but it creates long-term pain by healing the short-term pain. And I don't want to say healing. Taking us away from the short-term pain creates this long-term pain. So we get into this loop, this anxiety of the mind, looping into the alarm in the alarm in the body getting worse, and the alarm going up to the brain through interoception and making the brain dissociate and distract into worry. This is the alarm anxiety cycle. So how do we move forward? By using the emotion as a pathway, going towards it in the body instead of running up into our minds, teaching ourselves that we can deal with the alarm. We can stay with it because we're staying with the younger version of ourselves. So when you feel that feeling of a fear in your chest today, that's not just fear. That's the sense of alarm and a direct conduit back to the child who first felt it. I believe when you feel grief, anger, anguish, and pain, I believe it's the same grief, anger, anguish, and pain your younger self carried. We feel now the same way that we did when this pain started. But it's critical to understand that you're not that child anymore. And when you stop running away into worry, when you allow yourself to actually feel that alarm, feel the sensation in your body, now, as an adult, you're not just processing your old emotions. You're reconnecting yourself to that younger version of you that felt powerless and helpless. You're saying to that child, I see you. I won't abandon you again. I will see you, hear you, open to you, understand you, love and defend you. I will give you now what you didn't get back then. And this is why the body is so important. It holds the key to that reconnection of mind to body and adult self to child self. Worry takes us away. It dissociates us. Feeling brings us back to connection with ourselves, and that's the only place we can truly heal. And that feeling of alarm I talk about finding in my MBRX program is exactly where you need to go if you're trying to get long-term relief from your anxiety. You have to find the alarm in your body first, which is the manifestation of your younger self, before you can heal it. But you're going to resist going back there because it makes you feel powerless and helpless and grief-stricken and sad, like you did when you were a child, like you had no control. And this feeling of alarm is so intense, it tends to emotionally time travel you back to that time when your only option to cope was by worrying, by dissociating, by going into your head. And you're still trapped in that old pattern today. But the difference is now you have the power to see that you're not helpless like you were back then. Adult you can see, hear, open to, understand, love, and defend child you, and make the choice to go back and support that younger version of yourself, to give them the connection now that they should have got back then. And when you do that, when you connect with the younger version of you, you start healing the alarm at its source, which is really how we heal from anxiety. We can cope by changing our thoughts, but we heal by connecting with that younger version of ourselves. I know because I actually lived this. I grew up with a father who had schizophrenia, and it was terrifying. I didn't know how to feel that fear or cope with it. So I escaped into my head. Worry, I didn't know this when I was a child, but worry became my strategy. And I became a doctor and a neuroscientist and even a comedian, always thinking that I could analyze or think my way out or distract myself away from that child in me that was still frightened, that was still scared, from the boy in me that couldn't handle it then, but the adult in me can certainly handle it now. But no matter how much I learned about this, no matter how much I achieved, the wounded child in me was still waiting. I had to go back and fix that. There's no shortcut. I'm still holding that alarm. It's tolerable and understandable and compassion-driven in me to connect with that. But I'm still using worry as a feeling of, or as a way to escape that alarm and anxiety. I don't know if that just made sense, but it wasn't until I stopped resisting the feelings in my body and turned toward the child in me with compassion and love, then something shifted. My anxiety stopped being something I had to fear because I was no longer abandoning that younger version of me. I could use that alarm to go back in time and make a direct connection with Rusty, the younger version of me. And when I did that, there was this sense that I'm on the right track. My anxiety didn't heal right away, but there was this sense that you're on the right track. This is the path to healing, is connecting with that alarm-charged child that just needs to be seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended. So here's what I want you to take away. Anxiety isn't just fear. It's separation. Separation of the mind from the body and the adult in you from the child in you. And the way we cope with that separation or coped with that separation was by worrying. Worry was just an escape. It was a coping strategy that made sense in childhood that we carried on into our adulthood, but it's never going to resolve the alarm in your body. Just changing your worries, changing your thoughts is not going to fix the alarm in your body. And in fact, in a way, by delaying it, it just makes it worse. Now, I've come to know, and this is a brain twister, that worrying is the mind's attempt to stop you from worrying. I'm going to say that again. Worrying is the mind's attempt to stop you from worrying. And it's a loop that never ends. And although your mind promises you that it has the answer, it just has more worry in this infinite loop of pain, this infinite loop of charging the alarm, the child in you that's still worried, that's still scared. So the path to healing is feeling, to use your emotions in your body as a bridge back to your younger self. And every time you feel fear, sadness, or grief, you have a choice. You can escape into worry, or you can lean into the body and reconnect with that child that still lives within you. When you go back and you embrace these feelings, this alarm that lives in the child inside of you, you're not just processing emotion, you're embracing the child who still carries that pain. And that's where true healing begins. Fixing your thinking will help in the short term, but it's not going to heal you in the long term. So the next time you feel worry taking you over, pause, place your hand on your body, breathe. Remind yourself, this isn't just fear. This is my child. This is my path home. This is the connection to myself that will help me ultimately heal my anxiety. Feel more, think less, because your feelings aren't the enemy. They're the doorway back to yourself, back to that child that still needs to be seen, heard, open to, loved, and defended. I know I repeat that a lot, but it's so critical to your healing. Now, all this said, in some of us, the feeling is so intense, we're not able to process it on our own. I do know and I do feel that ultimately we have to be the healer for ourselves. But sometimes if the pain of alarm is so intense, we need someone else, like a somatic therapist or a good friend, to help us access that alarm in a titrated and safe way. This is one of my issues with using AI as a therapist, because it can open you up. It can open up these old portals of pain, but unless you have a supportive human being on the other side to help put you back together, I think AI is going to do a whole lot more damage than it does good. No way of putting you back together. Now, I'm going to do a whole podcast on AI therapy soon. But in the meantime, learn to use the location of alarm in your body. Really get into it. Really feel it. Really breathe into it. Touch into it. Have compassion for it. Have compassion for the child in you that felt that pain. And this is your foundation for healing. This is how you heal anxiety, is by healing this alarm. My hypnomeditations are also a great way to resource yourself and teach you how to be safer in your body, because we need to access those deeper limbic emotional structures in your brain that make you feel you have to dissociate from this alarm in the first place. And then you take over. You decide, I'm going to feel this. I'm going to connect with myself. And all that said, if the feeling is very overwhelming, please consider a therapist, a somatic therapist, or a therapist of some kind to help you metabolize this old pain. There are some things that are just so intense, we can't heal them on their own. So it's really important to understand, I can only do so much, but it starts with me. I am the originator of my own healing. I am the person who sees, hears, opens to, understands, loves, and defends. The child lives in me. That's that alarm child that's still there. And when we can connect with that alarmed child and really connect with them, then the alarm fades. This is what happened with me. My alarm is still there. I still feel it, but it doesn't start the alarm anxiety cycle anymore. It doesn't stop that endless cascade of worry and pain that just keeps going on in this endless loop. Now I know how to stop the loop. And you stop the loop by connecting your adult self to your child self and connecting your mind to your body. And I'll see you next time.